I wonder how many of you still have some of these sitting around, other than Judy. You have some of these sitting around, just you have the gift. That's really all that matters anyway, right? That you have it. You don't need to open it, do you? You do? But why do you have them still sitting there? That's right. You're waiting for someone to come back, aren't you? Jesus has given gifts to His church, and He doesn't want them unopened when He gets back. Does that make sense? Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, Jesus has given gifts to His church, and He wants them opened now. He doesn't want them to wait until He gets back. He wants them open now. Let's take a look at Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll go back a couple of verses to verse 7. But to each of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, He says, when He ascended on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts to man. And so here is Jesus. He was victorious on the cross. He won the battle for us. He ascended to heaven, the King, victorious in battle. And in celebration, He wants to give us gifts. And so He has made this happen. God has been triumphant. This verse 8, actually comes from Psalm 68, verse 18, and it talks about the glories of God victorious over His enemies. And as we look at it, that's what happened at the cross. Jesus was victorious over sin and death as He rose from that grave, ascended to heaven, triumphant. And so Paul, taking this verse, he changes it to talk about Jesus going up and giving gifts to the church. It is God's joy to give you gifts, to give you the things that you need to make His work go forward. He wants you to share in His victory. And so verse 11, it says, as we read this morning, and He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. You see, as we follow Jesus, everyone gets a gift. Everyone gets a gift who follows the Lord. As we believe in Him, as we follow Him, as we do what He asks, He has promised to us a gift that we can receive. John 20, verse 22 says, receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus, breathing on the disciples, said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus gave us a gift. Every one of us. Now, we may not have all gotten the really big one, you know? We may not have all gotten the really interesting one to listen to. We may not have gotten exactly the one we thought we were going to get. But each of us, as we follow the Lord, have gotten a gift. We may not all be apostles. That's okay. There are gifts that He has specifically for you, and He has promised to give you one. And as He gave you the Holy Spirit, we could just sit there and put it on the shelf and say, my, my, doesn't that look nice? But what good is that? That's not the way the gifts are supposed to be dealt with, are they? Instead, they're made to be opened. They're made to be shared and opened. And so like the disciples who received the gift of the Holy Spirit when Jesus ascended. It was not until they'd spent time in prayer, until they had gotten close to the Lord, until they had turned their heart to Him completely in the upper room, sweeping away all the difficulties between one and the next, that that gift was ready to be opened. And on Pentecost morning, wow, what a gift, huh? It was awesome. And so we know because of Philippians 4:19, you know Philippians 4:19, right? And my God shall supply all your needs, right? According to His riches. He wants you to share in it. According to His riches in glory by what? Christ Jesus, right? In other words, these gifts that God gives, this wonderful blessing that He has given, this supplying of your needs is not just for my selfish needs, but it's for my needs to minister to others, to share that gift with others. Because as we look at this, take a look at it. In verse 12, you see Jesus meant these gifts to be used, not just to be lavished on us. Verse 12, He gave these gifts, it says, verse 12, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So we see three things there that He had in mind. Three things. The equipping of the saints. God doesn't send you out there with nothing. He's there with you. And so He has given you that thing that you need. You're not out there alone. And sometimes, if you're like me, you get kind of nervous, right? Ooh, I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I can talk to them. I don't know if I can, you know? Or maybe you're nervous about something else. Ooh, I don't know if I can help out with the fridge or the fence. I'm not sure. God has given you a supply for all your needs. And that's to help others too. If you're wondering whether you can pay tithe and still survive, you know God is there. You know God will supply all your needs. You know that God is there. You know that He will take care of you. If you're wondering whether you have the words to say to this person that you feel impressed to talk to about the Lord, know that God is there with you. He will be with you. He came to equip you. And He will do that. Why? For what else? For the work of ministry. Just a little side note. That's just not ministers. Right? We're all ministers for the Lord, yes? All of us have work to do for the Lord. He has given us the opportunity. He's equipped us. He's given us the reasons. He's given us the gift. And then it says we're to go out for the ministry, for the work of the ministry. And also for the edifying of the body of Christ. And so you see, it is as we've talked about again and again, that the work that we do for the Lord is for folks out there and not to neglect our people here. That we are together supposed to be God's people, working for one another, helping one another, and then reaching out to our community, yes? That's what God has given the gifts of the Spirit for, so that we could do these things. So what's the purpose? Verse 13. What will be the result? Verse 13. What does it say will happen? Till we all come to the what? Unity of faith. Wait, I thought we were talking about different gifts here. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers. How can we have all these strange things thrown in a pot together and it's supposed to bring unity? Come on. Seriously? That's what it says, isn't it? Isn't it like our God to use something we would never expect to give us blessings we never deserved? God has wonderful things for us as we use our gifts to reach out to those around us, to edify those among us. God will bring unity of faith to those in Him. Unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. God has great things for us. Look what it says. Knowledge of the Son of God to a what? A perfect man. Whew. Has anything ever been created like that? Ask any wife. I'm sure you will find, you know, that just doesn't exist, does it, ladies? A perfect man? Come on. Well, as it turns out, that's not exactly what it's talking about here. It's talking about the church as a whole, the church corporate, the corporate body of Christ coming together to work for others and to edify one another and becoming Christ-like, because that's what it says as we go on. To the measure of the stature of the fullness. The what? The fullness of Christ. You see, as we use these gifts to minister to others, as we use these gifts not to help myself, but to help the church, then we come into unity because we come into Christ-likeness. Do you enjoy playing the guitar? Absolutely, yeah? So do you do nothing but just sit at home and listen to yourself play? Because you enjoy it, so you're going to enjoy it by yourself, right? Or do you come to church and help people here to worship together, right? As we use our gifts, God blesses everyone around us. And you realize it's a double gift, right? Yeah? Double gift? Because you see, God gives us these gifts, and then He gives us as gifts to the church. It's a double gift. God has blessed not only us personally, but us corporately as we come together. God wants to do so much for us. So, here's the question. Here's the point for the day. Are you ready? Here's what it's all about. What's your plan? What's your plan? What's your plan for your gifts? What has God laid on your heart for 2012? As we talked about here in Sabbath School, we're talking about now. What is your plan? Maybe you don't know what your gift is yet. That's okay. We'll help you figure it out. But it starts with you deciding, I want to do something with it. This year, I want to do something with my gift. I want to make a difference for the Lord. I don't want it to be same old, same old. I want to make something new and exciting for God. Something different. Something special for God. Something that uses this spiritual gift that He's given me so that I can bless others. What's your plan? Is it a new year, new you? Or is it new year, my gift is still in the wrapping paper? Just waiting, and when Jesus comes back, I'll still have His gift all nice and neat, just the way He gave it to me. I think I remember some parable about that, don't you? I remember something like that. Brothers and sisters, God wants to use your gift now. God has a plan for you. What's your plan? Can you cooperate with His plan? That's what it's all about here. And so this afternoon at 4 o'clock, we're going to come together and we're going to follow the lead of the youth. And we're going to think about our plans for our gifts that God has given us. This year, we want to open those gifts. We want to make a difference with those gifts. We want to use them for God this year. And what a privilege it is for us. Take a look with me. Look at verse 15. We'll be speaking the truth in love that we may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. We're going to grow up in Christ. You see, we've done some things this past year. We've moved forward in evangelism, in working together. And this year, let's make it a breakout year where we come out strong, going for the Lord, using our gifts. We have this year plans for evangelism that will be two evangelistic cycles this year. Oh, yeah. We have plenty of places for you to use your gifts. Awesome opportunities to reach out to our community, to make a difference in our world, to tell others we know a Savior who is all-powerful and has given gifts, thank you, and has given gifts to men. What a great and glorious God we serve. And so, what a privilege we can grow up into Christ. And then verse 16, are you with me? From whom the whole body, that's us, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. In other words, what each of us gives pulls us all together. According to the effective working by which... What? What's this next part there? Every part does... Huh? Wait, I can't hear you. I need every part doing its share here. So that every part does what? Its share. In other words, all of us pulling together. You see, I can't hear you unless all of you say it together. If all of you are saying willy-nilly different things, all confused and... It might be good stuff, it might be here, but we want to talk together. We want to say it together. We want to be working together, every part doing its share. Brothers and sisters, if we're not having every part do its share, we can't walk down the road where Jesus wants us to walk as a body of Christ. It needs all of us, thank you. It needs all of us. All of us together, every part doing its share. And now watch this. Here's the promise. Are you ready? Here's the promise. Causes growth of the body. Is that awesome or what? As we are serving God, just doing the gifts that He has given us, He causes growth among the body. It's beautiful. It's beautiful what the Lord has for us. It causes growth of the body. In other words, people will learn of Jesus and come to Him, but also for the edifying of itself in what? Ooh. Ooh, yeah. Oh, yeah. As we are listening to the Lord, ministering His gifts to others, we can't help but be together, unified, and in love with the body of Christ. It's God's promise, guaranteed to happen. I invite you today, I know it's asking more than we usually do on Sabbath. I know that. But I'm asking you this Sabbath to be here at 4 o'clock. To be here at 4 o'clock to consider how you can use your gift. And then we'll stay here for Vespers at 5. And we're going to go through the foot washing service and wash away the stuff we'd rather forget from this past year. Places where we really haven't been with the Lord, maybe. Places where we could have done better in our lives. And I'm inviting you at that time to commune with God. Not just do a little thing of grape juice and a little biscuit of bread and say, wow, we had communion again. Brothers and sisters, come and commune with God. And say, this is what I want for 2012. I want 2012 to start with communion with God and go all the way through. Amen. Giving myself to God. Giving my gifts to God. Giving all that I am to my God. And so it's going to be a little longer afternoon. But I think I remember that my God shall supply. Yeah, yeah, you know it, don't you? God will take care of you. Make the choice for Him. He will supply your needs. Today, 4 o'clock, come thinking about your plans. And 5 o'clock, come to commune with God and start the new year.